I'm Eric Thiel. We've got more live music in store for you today, coming to you from JPR Reading. My guest in the studio is Jerry Douglas. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Thanks for taking a few minutes out of the day. I'm not actually even sure really where to start with you and your career. 40 years of making
music.
It's
been nice seeing y'all. I'll see you at the show tonight.
you've been playing professionally now for 40 years.
Oh boy.
Congratulations.
Wow, boy, that number sinks in after when you hear somebody say it like that. Yeah, 40 years.
13 Grammy Awards over the years, CMA Musician of the Year 3 times, National Endowment for the Arts National Heritage Fellowship. It's a pretty nice resume you've assembled.
All my doors are open, you know, Grammys in front of them.
Yeah. How did you get...
That's horrible. I didn't really mean that.
Before I have you play something, let's talk a little bit about the instrument, because you are known as a dobro player, but technically only some of the instruments you play are dobros.
Well, dobro is a registered trademark, the name is.
By Gibson.
Gibson Guitar Company bought it a few years ago, but it was originally called the Dobro Original Music Instrument Company. And dobro is a shortened version of Dopiera Brothers.
And they were from Eastern Europe?
They were from Czechoslovakia. They were actually from a little town called Trnava, which is closer to in Slovakia, it's closer to Bratislava.
Okay.
For those of you who have your maps out right now.
Yeah. Did you grow up in a household where there was a lot of traditional music being played?
Absolutely, yeah. My father is a guitar player and a singer and had his own band for as long as I can remember. And so when I'd be getting up to go to school, or even before that, I was recently home and they drug out all these pictures of had me like dragging around, you know, a plastic guitar when I was 2 years old. Got my first guitar when I was about 6 for Christmas, and it was a silver tone guitar, which was more like a cheese grater to the hands. And he had a band, and I grew up listening to his band rehearse, and my father was a steel worker in northeastern Ohio, so he'd be going to work early in the morning, I'd be going to school, and there'd be a Flat and Scruggs record, or a Stanley Brothers record, or Jim and Jesse, or my mother liked Charlie Pride, Johnny Cash, first of all. Now we're going on back. And so there was some kind of record like that. And, you know, so I woke up to early country music, bluegrass music, and went to sleep at night listening to the rock stations out of Cleveland. So I was confused.
Mm. Now, I read that you started playing mandolin.
I started playing mandolin when I was about 5.
That fits a little kid a little better.
Yeah, your hands are more suited for a small neck like that. I don't know how these great big guys do that with their great big pudgy fingers on that little fingerboard. Yeah.
Now, most resonator guitars, dobros, the action is pretty high.
Well, it's played with a slide, with a bar.
And so I read that one of your first guitars was kind of similar. It was really hard to push the strings all the way down.
Well,
that
silver tone guitar I was talking about, yeah, eventually became a dobro because the strings, the neck warped and the strings got higher in the middle. So I went to see a Flat and Scruggs show when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And I asked my father, I said, if you'll raise the strings on my guitar, I'll learn to play like that guy up there.
Yeah.
Josh Graves was the guy that was playing the dobro.
What is it about the sound or the way you play the instrument that appealed to you so much?
Well, it's a real blues instrument and a real vocal instrument, you know, because you're not playing with a fret that stops the note. So you can move the note and you can be very vocal with the note. And also you can play chords, but the note is more like being a singer. Or a violinist, you know, more like a singer. I think it's more akin to a vocal than it is to another instrument.
Jerry Douglas is my guest live in the JPR Reading studios. His newest album, number 14, is called Traveler. Guest appearances from Eric Clapton, Keb Moe, Paul Simon, and a lot of others. What are you going to play for us first today?
Well, I'm not sure. I'll just play you a little bit of something. Let's see. I'll play you a little. I know what I'm going to do. There's a song called A Tribute to Heather O'Donnell, who was somebody famous in Ireland in the early 1900s. But this was a commissioned song by a guy, commissioned and written by a guy named Donald Lunny, who's a huge icon of Irish music. And so I ripped that song off from him a few years ago, and it's a pretty nice song. We'll see what you think.
Thank you.
I cheated. That was more than one song.
I'm not going to complain about that at all. That's Jerry Douglas live in the JPR Redding studios here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're also online streaming at ijpr.org. The new album is called Traveler. Jerry, let's go back in time about a decade, a little bit more than a decade, to when you joined Alison Krauss and Union Station.
Okay.
This has turned out to be a pretty good band.
It's a pretty good band. Not bad.
You actually met Alison, though, when she was a teenager, right?
Yeah, I met her when she was 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you knew. You knew then?
Well, a guy, Ken Irwin, who was one of the founders of Rounder Records, brought her to Nashville looking for a producer for her. And he brought her to Bela Fleck's house. And Sam Bush and Bela Fleck and I sat down and listened to her. And she sang some songs for us and played the fiddle. And she was mostly interested in being a fiddle player at that point. But I said, you're a singer. You're a singer. And we're going to be hearing a lot of things from you.
So you can take credit for all of it?
No.
Convincing her to be a singer?
Not exactly. Not exactly. She became that over time. But I think the more her confidence grew, the better singer she became. And the more people set up and paid attention, the more things she got to do. And the more famous she became, the more Grammys she won.
Yeah. In, the year 2000, you were part of the musicians that created the soundtrack to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. Did you have any idea when you were working on the music for that film what kind of a wave of revitalization in traditional music would happen following that movie?
Well, no, I didn't. I don't think anyone really did, because the timing of all of that was crucial. When we were doing the record, we just were doing the record because we were in love with the idea of being in a Coen Brothers movie. And, when they first asked me about if I was interested in doing it, and I said, for the Coen Brothers, I'll do anything. I'd seen Raising Arizona and Blood Simple and all of the other movies, Miller's Crossing and all these other great movies that they'd made up to that point, and just was a huge fan of theirs. And then when I met them, they were completely nuts. I knew that I was on board. And we had what would be called, like a roster call at a studio downtown, and they were choosing who would be, voice.
Oh, Clooney.
Yeah.
Clooney's voice.
And
Dan Tominski got that, right?
Dan Tominski got it. It was up between Dan Tominski and Buck White at a certain point. And Dan, it was a good choice.
Yeah. That wave of popularity almost feels like it's continuing today in bands like Mumford & Sons and Lumineers and the Avett Brothers and all of those.
Well, when we did the record came out, 9/11 happened. Mm. Bible sales soared. And people really went to the ground looking for something honest, and because they didn't know what to believe at that point, the world was upside down. And here we come with this record that's completely honest. And so it was timely, sadly, it was timely, and it shook the whole world up. But the record, I remember asking T-Bone, I said, what do you think this record could sell? And he said, I'm thinking about 8 or 9 million copies. And I think at this point we've sold 9.
Yeah, it's turned out okay. Yeah. Jerry Douglas is my guest live in the JPR Redding studios. His newest album is called Traveler. Can you play something else for us?
Sure. Let's see. Last time I played Little Martha. And along with the first tune, a tribute to Pether O'Donnell, and then I played another tune called Lil Ro-Ro, and then Little Martha, and I think that's where I ended. So I'm in this certain tuning that I can stay in here for a second, and let's see what else I've got in this tuning, and then I'll switch to a different tuning maybe and play a little bit later.
Thank you.
That is Jerry Douglas live in the JPR Redding studios. The new album is called Traveler. So what was the name of that one?
That was called Union House Branch. And I wrote that for Union Station to play, for Allison to play more fiddle. And to try to get her to play fiddle again. You know, now she's a singer. Now play some fiddle.
Right.
So I wrote that, and we actually won a Grammy with that. So that's how easy that is.
You know, before you played, we were talking about how you met Allison when she was a teenager. More recently, you have accompanied another teenage sensation, Sarah Jarosz.
Oh, yeah.
Who is an up-and-coming mandolin player, songwriter, singer. When we started off and I talked about you being in this for 40 years now and you mentioned age, there's now a whole new generation of players coming up in this traditional American bluegrass slash country slash Americana scene.
Punk country disco music, yeah.
And it seems like to slap a label on it, the bluegrass community does a really good job of nurturing its young.
They do. And it's surprising to me, you know, all the time about these prodigies that show up, you know, like Chris Thiele. But it does. I mean, it's a music that you grow up learning to play. It's not the kind of music that, like rock and roll or folk music, that, you know, you just kind of run into anywhere. You have to be looking for it. And we tend to grow up in a household that plays that kind of music around the house, you know, or outside, or at picnics, you know, family reunions, things like that. It's usually a Southern music, but that's not so prevalent anymore. These people are coming from everywhere now, and I think a large part of it's because of just, you know, maybe Oh Brother Where Art Thou, you know, maybe turn some of these young kids onto it, but. I don't know. It's the same. It was the same for me. You know, I heard it growing up, and so did they.
Right. You've essentially become the new Josh Graves. Right.
Somebody I'm fine with that. Yeah. Actually. Yeah.
That others are looking up to now.
It's okay. It's part of being a bluegrass musician and being out here playing like this is being an ambassador for the music. Mm-hmm. You know. So it's an ongoing vocation. You know, you might say it's a journey.
You've talked about the dobro being this very lyrical instrument, mimicking a voice almost in the way that you can bend notes and move notes around. But yet one of the hallmarks of your playing is often not necessarily a lead line. It's placing the perfect notes to accompany another lead player or another vocalist, almost as if you're doing more listening during music than playing lead lines. Is that something that you've really focused on over the years?
Well, yeah, and I think it's really important for us all as musicians to listen to what's going on around us and not just, you know, blast and use your chops, you know, to impress everybody in the audience out there, you know, and try to get chicks. but to be a listener, you know, to what's going on. And that's one of the things that I have really worked on over the years is I've had the great fortune to work with a lot of great singers, mm-hmm. like Allison and James Taylor and Paul Simon, people like that, Ray Charles. And it's really, you pay attention to what they're doing. You hear what they're doing and you try to accent that or move what, you know, whatever kind of emotion they're trying to dig up. You know, you can further that by placing the note at the right place or not playing, you know, staying out of the way is another great secret that a lot of people should learn. But it's a hard one to learn. That's the hardest one.
Looking at your website, there is a number that is almost hard to believe. That is how many albums you have been on at this point. And I was doing a little math last night based on the number and based on the number of years you have been making music professionally. Mm. Over 2,000 albums. That is 50 albums a year for 40 years. How have you found the time to do that? And still,
I'm very tired.
Still led a band, still been out on tour for the last decade with Allison Krauss and Union Station.
Well, a lot of that happened in about a 15-year period when I was off the road and doing sessions. And in Nashville, session hours go from 10 to 1, 2 to 5, 6 to whatever, you know. And I was doing 3 sessions a day for about 15 years. And it finally got to the point where I was burning out and not knowing if I had just played the same song for a different artist the day before. So, you know, you can do something like that for just so long, but as musicians, we're not machines, you know, so we do wear out and we get tired of it. And Allison called at just the right time for me. I was really starting to burn out and was actually in the studio producing a record and actually in a tornado that tore through Nashville the next day. And asked me if I would be interested in working, you know, for a few weeks that summer with them because they had just lost a member of the band and didn't know if they were going to continue to be a band. And I said, you know, well, let me talk it over at home and see how everybody feels about me going on the road for a little while. And I knew I wanted her at home. So I did, and it was agreeable. So I went out with them, and about two weeks in, they just said, you know, they were just kind of like all surrounding me. And all of a sudden, Allison said, would you just stay? I think this is going to work. Would you just stay? Because this is really feeling good to us. So, yeah, that was 16 years ago almost.
Yeah. And you've also got the Jerry Douglas Band.
Yeah.
What does this band allow you to do musically that maybe you've not been able to do?
This band allows me to play all these songs that I have recorded on, you know, over albums throughout the years, and a lot of things that I've heard throughout the years, and a lot of influences that I can't get out during, you know, a Union Station show. I do have a portion of the show in the middle of the show where I come out and just kind of get rid of a lot of stuff that's hanging around in there.
Pent up energy.
But everybody leaves, and then leaves me to my own devices on stage, and I can blow it out for a little while and then get back to normal, you know, because it's a very precise, shiny show. It's very, yeah. Very, and that's one of the great things about it. But I just go crazy for about 10 minutes on stage, and then everything calms down again. But being out here on the road with my own band gives me a chance to get all of that out, you know, and to play these songs that I've written and that I continue to write, you know, and it gives me inspiration to write more and to keep doing this. I mean, I'm very happy doing this, you know, and playing with these guys. I've got a great band. And I mean, Allison's brother Victor is playing bass with us, and Doug Belote is a drummer from New Orleans. He's a great drummer, man. It's like hydroplaning on stage. It's wonderful. And so I like playing with great musicians, and I have some of the best with me. I love to play. But I also like being home. You know, I do go home once in a while, if anybody wants to know. you know, I'm out here right now. I'm going to play a couple shows out here, then go to Telluride. We'll do the big Telluride Festival again. This is like my 28th or 29th Telluride. They gave me a sheep on my 25th. Tell you, Raj.
They gave you a what?
A sheep, a live sheep on stage. And I took it. I gave it back.
Okay. I was going to say, do sheep go on planes?
I couldn't carry on. No. Yeah. No. They wouldn't let you take that on the plane.
That's the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, they gave Bela a chicken a couple years before, but a fox ate his chicken. So, you know, I figured I'd give my sheep back before anything bad happened.
This has become like an Inside the Actor's Studio. Jerry Douglas is my guest live in the JPR Redding Studios. Big thanks today to Valerie Ng for helping coordinate down here, and also to Carson Bloom for taking some photographs that we'll have up on our Facebook page. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I've really had a good time. This is a nice place you've gotten here.
Before I let you go, will you play one more for us?
I'll play one more. This song's called A Monkey Let the Hogs Out.
Thank you.
That is Jerry Douglas live in the JPR Redding studios. The newest album is called Traveler. Jerry, it has been a pleasure to meet you. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.